Hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers. Hey, on today's episode, we have a good conversation with Eddie Penny. And if you don't know Eddie, he started his military career with the U.S. Marine Corps, and then he made his way into the Navy as a Navy SEAL, and eventually worked his way into development group. If you don't know what that is, it's worth a Google. And Mike, what did we talk about today?
Well, first off, let's give him a shout out to eddiepenny.com. Penny with two E's in it, if you're wondering. But we talked about a warrior mindset. And I love how he mentioned Wild at Heart with John Eldridge and talking about William Wallace, you know. And, you know, he talked about a bit of, in every movie, there is a hero, a villain, and a love story. And so we talking about working out, talking about standing up for Jesus and being a man, and overall super, super cool guy who served our country and continues to serve, you know, his country in a different platform as a civilian to, you know, mentor and to motivate people to be a better man, to be a better father. So it's a great, great episode, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, so let's get into it. And I think that as iron sharpens iron, you're going to be sharpened by this one. So let's get into it.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hey, Eddie, I appreciate you coming on here.
Yes.
Really do. I know you're a busy guy, and so it's awesome that you were able to set aside a little time for us. I appreciate it.
How long have we talked about doing this? Probably a year and a half, maybe?
Yeah, probably so. But, man, so you own a business called Contingent Group, or is it Contingency Group?
Contingent Group.
Okay. So that obviously keeps you pretty busy because that's all over the place, right?
Yeah, it has its moments. Sometimes it's pretty quiet, and other times it's like, okay, I need quiet. So it just depends on the day.
Gotcha.
I'll take both.
Right. Cool. So, as you probably already know, this is a faith-based podcast is what we do mainly, and our target audience is veterans, first responders, and that kind of stuff. Mike and I both come from the first responder background, and so we like anybody with that type of background, whether it's first responder or veteran, but specifically faith-based. And yours is a bit of a unique story in that you weren't necessarily, you know, a man of faith while you were in the military. Is that correct?
That is correct. I started, testing the waters would probably be the best way to describe it. My last couple years, but those last couple years that I was in, I was not deploying. So, And then I'd say probably my last year in, I was like, okay, this is, wow, God is real. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it took a while. I was very stubborn, very hard-headed, was scared, very scared. It really kind of took, you know, just a couple people like kind of force feeding it that really would set me back. Which I've learned that that's not the proper way, at least for me. Maybe it works for some, but it would turn me off to it. I think we could probably all agree. We kind of need to take our own journey, kind of like test the waters, or, you know, find it out ourselves. Obviously, if you're raised upon that, it's a little bit easier. I was not. And obviously the nature of my job, you didn't see a lot of, I would say, God things until you find God. And then you're like, whoa, there is so much God stuff, even in the crappiest of places on this earth. So I'm getting chills just saying those words. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's powerful. So yeah. But to answer the long answer, or to the short answer, whatever, no, I was not a man of faith. in the military until probably my last year.
Yeah. So I didn't know whether to ask this question or not, but my curiosity is getting the best of me. So
Take a shot.
Yeah. You worked with Adam Brown, correct?
I did. Multiple deployments, multiple platoons, multiple years. Yes.
And would you say he had some kind of influence on you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You say that name, you know, like my hair kind of stands up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam, and there was probably two other guys in my first platoon. So when I got to team two, Adam was on his second rotation. This was my first. And I believe he came from team four, teammate, moved over. Don't quote me on that. It could be wrong, but I think that's what he did. And then I remember seeing him and learning about that and just, oh, he's a Christian. Okay. What does that even mean? Okay, cool. You like God. You believe in God. Awesome. And that's all I would ever take him. There's a couple other guys, but he was just different. I mean, he was fearless. And we got the book Fearless. I mean, the man was fearless. But yeah, I knew Adam very well. I did one deployment with him at team two. And on that deployment is when he had the bad car. There was that Humvee accident. And in the book, it says a medic puts his fingers back on. I was actually the dude that put his fingers back on. I was EMT trained, but I mean, they don't really cover, hey, put these fingers back on.
Yeah.
But they were like, these three fingers were kind of falling to the side. And I was like, well, common sense would say, just put them back where they belong. I wrapped them up and kind of split them together. And come to find out, according to the doctor, he's like, the way you did that, it just happened to save his finger. So, I mean, but that was just really a shot in the dark. Just like, hey, these are my fingers. This is probably what I'd want to do. And then I moved over to development group with Adam. We were in the same green team. We were in the same team in green team. And then we went to the same squadron once we made it through selection, and we did a few deployments together there. And the deployment where he passed away was actually the first deployment I missed when I got custody of my children. So I didn't get to go on that deployment.
Oh, okay.
Would have been in a different area anyways, but I was not with him on that one. So when I found out about it, I was back in the States, back in Virginia, and I heard about it probably at 2 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, I knew Adam very well. He's a good dude. He was he was a go-getter. He was never boring, I'll tell you that. He was not boring.
Oh, I bet. And if our listeners don't know what we're talking about, you gotta get the book Fearless. It's talk about a biography of an amazing human being. I mean, you start reading that book, you're not going to be able to put it down. So don't start it before bed. So,
No, you can't. I didn't know a lot. I knew some of the stuff before the military. I didn't know about some of the stuff in the military. And I mean, it just goes to show you, for the listeners, you got to get the book, but just like all the struggles that we go through, it doesn't matter if you're, I think a lot of people think or put this this facade on it, like, oh, they're a Christian, they're squared away, dude. No, we know that that's not the truth. We get attacked hard, and you're trying to put out the word, and you speak from that stance of yes, God is my God, the only God. You're gonna get attacked, and that's where that we talked about before we started the show, that spiritual warfare. And a lot of people don't like to talk about that. I think they get afraid, and there it is. There's spiritual warfare. Warfare for you in the flesh right there.
Yeah. I've got a friend of mine. You talked about people being kind of pushy with their faith. I've got a friend of mine who's a chaplain, and he always talks about the ministry of presence. It's not, overt ministry or overt, what's the word I'm looking for here? Proselytizing, right? So it sounds to me like, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe, it sounds like Adam more lived his faith, and maybe that's why he was able to have an impact on the type A personality, because I think a lot of us deal with that type A personality, and it's not one that you're going to, you're not going to be able to proselytize and put the word in them necessarily, but they're going to be watching for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things, you're going to get around. I mean, it's almost like parenting, right? The best result is you set the example by your actions. Like if I show that, I mean, something as simple as I take my plate from the dinner table if there's any scraps or bones, I throw it away, and then I wash my plate and I put it in the dishwasher versus leaving it there or just sitting on the counter. You know, they see you do these things and they do it. It's the same thing with this faith. As you see people, because, you know, there's talkers. I've been that. I'm not going to lie. But it's, you know, you live your life that way and people, you just rub off. I mean, through osmosis, I think is the right word. It just works. You be the example. You don't need to force feed anyone. And you just plant those seeds and let God take care of the rest. That's one thing I have learned, is I can only do so much with my children or a friend who's going through some struggling times. I'm like, hey, you're asking my opinion. Here it is. And I try to be very gentle with it. But at the same time, like, real, you know, I don't want to like dance around the facts and the truth. And then just let it go. It's just to like, here's the seed. All right, God, take over. It's your time to shine. It's not our job. I believe not our job to freaking, you must do this. We're messengers. So.
Right. Hey, Mike, I think I skipped an important step here. You want to pray us in real quick?
Yes. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to virtually meet, Lord. Your scripture promises when two or more gathered in your name that you are in the midst. And Lord, whoever might be listening to this podcast, Lord, I pray that they would be able to glean and gain some truth, some nuggets, some wisdom. Lord, we ask that you would just be with their conversation, God. Continue to watch and bless us, Lord. And lift up Eddie to you. Continue to use him for your purpose and for your glory. And the Thin Line Believers podcast, Lord. So bless our conversation today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Sorry about that. Should have warned you. Should have warned you beforehand, but it's figure if we don't do that, we're not going to be led, right? We're just going to be
right. Exactly.
Talking about nothing. So, but yeah, you got the questions answered that I was curious about. And so, yeah, how eventually did you end up coming to a saving knowledge anyway?
Probably not in the best of way, to be honest with you. I was engaged at the time, and I was going through, I was off the train of deploying and operating overseas and being with the boys. And, I was drinking a lot. I was taking pills at night. I couldn't sleep. There'd be a couple of days I'd maybe get like 3-4 hours. Then there'd be a couple of days where I did not sleep. I just would be staring at the wall and I'm like, why can't I sleep? Why can't I sleep? And, you know, certain flashbacks and just reminiscing and just the brain wouldn't shut down. So I've learned that obviously certain pill popping and alcohol would kind of make me tired. And then it became my medicine. It became my, you know, instead of like some hot tea before bed, it became a bottle of wine, turned into 2 bottles of wine, and to some nighttime stuff, even if it was like a shot of Mucinex, nighttime stuff, just dumb stuff. And I went to my fiance's a work party, and I got obliterated. I mean, just said some bad things. And she kind of gave me the ultimatum, like, hey, I want you to go to this this men's camp or else I'm out of here. And I was like, okay, sounds good. I knew it was kind of a Christian-based, but I didn't know exactly how involved that was or what that even meant. I went, and I was like, hey, I'm here. I was starting to learning, like, okay, dude, you got a problem. You're getting kind of ignorant when you're drinking and you're just not happy when you're not drinking. Became like, you know, gave me some sauce and I was like, I'm happy. So I was aware, I was starting to be, I wasn't maybe as aware as I should have been. And then I went and I was like, I'm going to give this 100% after fighting internally, the struggle, the good voice and the bad voice. And I was like, I got to do this. And I just started giving my all, and just throughout that week and the 3-day camp started changing. And towards the end, I was breaking down crying, which was not normal for me. It is today. Gosh, I watch like DuckTales, I'm start crying. so it's So just like this change started in me, I'm getting chills. I tell the story, change started in me. I mean, it wasn't overnight. Unfortunately, I wish it was. It's still an ongoing process, as I'm sure you guys can relate. But I liked it. I felt amazing. It started cleansing me from the inside, and I liked that. And I mean, friends were like, I can see a difference on you on the outside, and they didn't even know what was going on. Like they didn't know about my faith, or 'cause I was very, I wanted to keep to myself about it. It was awesome. And of course I tested God. Are you real? Oh, this is just a coincidence. You know, those back and forth that you we say in our head. And, I mean, he let me know, he let me know, quite a few times, like, hey, this is the real deal. And this is what I have in store for you. This is what I expect of you. And, excuse me. And it was very surreal. It was beautiful, and it was a life changer. It changed my life for the best. And just having the feeling, I want to give that feeling. I wish other people just like had that feeling. Like you got to feel this. You got to take this in. It's beautiful. It's so powerful in the best way, because you can take a bad day and kind of remember why you're here, who's got your back, and it's the greatest day in the world. So I think, I mean, that's powerful in my point, because we see a lot of depression walking around here over the dumbest stuff. And I'm reading a book, and one of the things they say is, number one, don't sweat the small stuff. And number two is, it's all small stuff. And it's like, it's so true. These little things, but they take people out. I mean, to enough where, you know, we're putting guns in our head or stuffing down pills. And I mean, I was almost a victim of that. A very brief moment, and it's nuts, but it's so powerful, and it is so freeing. It's the true freedom, it's true liberty right there.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Going into that retreat, right? It was a retreat of sorts.
Right.
There's no way you went into that with an open mind, was there? I mean, I can't see myself going to something like that and being real outspoken, outgoing.
Yeah, I stayed to myself. I wasn't. I was like, okay, we'll just do this. You know, it's like I'm being punished, right? But it was. It's the program was Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay. So I do that. It's amazing, right? It's amazing. I've done, I think, six of them since that first one, and he has a good way. I mean, it was through virtual, so like he was teaching, and it was from a satellite, but he uses movies. Right. He uses Braveheart, Gladiator, all these movies that I grew up on, and don't see this like Christian, godlike, here's Jesus connection. And I was blown away. I was blown away. And he goes, if you look at it just by our human nature, when we're making a book or a movie, is you're going to have three things. You're going to have a hero, you're going to have a villain, and you're going to have a love story. And I still haven't found a movie where you can take one of those out, even if it's a kid's show. You can't do it. It's there. It's all around us. We just don't see it. And that blew my mind. It blew my. He's using Braveheart, William Wallace, and I'm like, this is an amazing fight scene. And then he talks about it. I'm like, well, gosh, I've been absent from this earth for quite some time. So it was Wild at Heart. That's what it was. But it was a True North Ministries out of Oklahoma City was the one that put it on. And I went to five of theirs from True North out of Oklahoma City. And I went down by myself to Houston to go to one with John Eldridge in person. And it was awesome to do it by myself. And it's kind of like a little pilgrimage. So it was cool. It was really cool. I really bought all his books, read most of his books, try to give them out to people. And just it's powerful stuff. And going by your guys' reaction, you've heard of this.
Well, it's funny, is it's fairly recent actually, because so for me personally, a friend of mine recommended that a couple of years ago, and I said, I'm not reading a book called Wild at Heart, bro. Just not happening. And which is funny, because this is a guy that I was on SWAT with, and so it wasn't like, you know, he's a, you know, little light in the loafers or anything, but. So I put it off, and then we ended up interviewing, what was that, about a month ago, you think, Mike? We interviewed Eli Crane. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, he's running for office.
Yeah. And so he talked about Wild at Heart. And so I finally bought the darn thing and read it. And it, yeah, that book is phenomenal. And I haven't gone past that because I've got too many books stacked up that I'm trying to get through. But
reading list.
Yeah. But yeah, you're exactly right. And the part that resonated with me the most was, you know, your adventure, what makes you feel the most alive? And so I'm still kind of navigating that part, but
yeah, it's intense. It's the real deal.
Yep. Definitely a good book. So, where have you gone since then? I mean, I know that you're retired from the military, correct? And then, now you're a private business owner. How does that transition over your faith into what you're doing now?
I mean, it really just the way I live my life is totally different how I lived, you know, before, you know, now I just, wherever I go, whoever I deal with, I try to be an example for Christ. That doesn't mean I go in there with a Bible and start preaching and all that stuff that some people think that that's what happens. It's just like, I do the right thing. I'm friendly. And yeah, I show love. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's times where the love stops and, you know, bad people do bad things. And as you know, as law enforcement, but yeah, I just try to live the best I can. How would Jesus, I always like when I'm in a certain situation, I'd be like, all right, if Jesus was right next to me, how would he want me to act? And I tell you what, that's really weird to do. Sometimes it's like, okay, I'm out of here. You know, whatever it may be. But it works for me. And just having that accountability everywhere. And one of the big things that I really, probably the last year and real hard, probably the last couple months, is I started eddiepenny.com. And it's like a social media place, but more motivational for Christians. So you can talk about your faith. So you can be like, hey, I'm really struggling with this. I need some help. Place to keep you accountable. I put all my workouts out there. And that's kind of my new thing, is people can join that. And we can feed into each other. And I think, I mean, it takes a village, right? We need that community. And I think a lot of people are afraid to reach out to do that, where this one's kind of more of a closed place. And you got people that are willing to help and want to hear what you have going on, and will push you. And I do one-on-one calls with people that are struggling or just transitioning out of the military, or want to talk about workouts and diets. It just kind of depends what's on their plate. And usually it bleeds over to other sections. And that's been trying to be my kind of like mentoring platform to reach out to people. Because I know when I first became a Christian, I'll never forget this. It was that first weekend when I was like, okay, this is real deal. Like, I am a Christian. They started talking about like tithing, and they started talking about men's groups. They started talking about like, hey, work at your church to direct traffic, which I still don't get because I know everyone knows where a parking spot is. and just all these things that we get involved in the church and in the community, which are all great things. But as a new Christian, I was overwhelmed. I was like, I got to do this, and this, and I'm trying to stop this, and this. I mean, it was too much. And one thing I learned by reading books and just listening to more experience and some wisdom was just like, you're not called to go do all these things. It's what's laid upon that heart, and that is what you go do. And for me, that was like, was tithing. Tithing was my biggest thing, which is weird. It's just, I was laying in my heart like, I need to tithe. And I did it joyfully. I wasn't forced to do it. And out of all things, I was like, shouldn't I just maybe go work at the church? It seems nice. But that wasn't for me. It was laid on my heart, like, you should tithe. And I started tithing. And it just, I felt great about it. And it's crazy, if you're obedient, what happens. And you just listen, and just trying to have those ears to hear and those eyes to see the beauty of him all around you. But yeah, I was definitely overwhelmed at first. I think a lot of people get that way. It's like, you don't need to do all those things. If it's going to overwhelm you or stress you, that's not of God. It's not. So that was a huge thing for me. That was like one of those big things. And I've heard, and the reason why I bring that up is I've heard other people talk about it. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. you don't have to do those things. If it's laid upon your heart, and you'll know, I mean, I'm sure as you guys can attest to, when you know, it's time to step up and, you know, do the right thing and do what you're called to do. So.
Yeah. It sounds like Mike's dealing with that right now, huh, Mike?
Which way are you
putting me on the spot? You know, Eddie, it's really encouraging to hear you talk about, you know, John Eldridge. You know, I think so. You know, my dad was in the military in Korea. He was in the Marine Corps there. And, you know, that was my dream, was to go into the Marine Corps. But he talked me out of it, and I ended up going into ministry right away. At a real early age of 17 years old, I jumped in the ministry, became a pastor and all that. And, you know, and I had my side careers of being a personal trainer and a police chaplain, all that good stuff. And then, you know, Adam, you talked about presence. So when I was a firefighter in a metro area in Los Angeles, and having been a cop out here in Colorado, it's interesting. Having been a preacher, I've already been labeled. You know, you get that label like, oh, you're a preacher, man. You know, people hanging cloths on my locker. And I thought it was pretty humorous. It's funny because you mentioned John Eldridge and how he uses, you know, movies. And there is this idea that, and in my head right now, it's kind of like discombobulated. There is this image of men thinking of Christian men of being weak. And this is a bothersome thing for me. There are some pastors that are asking men to be even weaker men, and it's driving me nuts. You know, because have I been into a burning building? Yes. Not thinking about the fact that I could die and not come home to my wife and my kids. Same thing with being a cop, you know, going to, you know, towards a shooting versus running away, you know. And here I am as a Christian man, never once saying that I'm a preacher, never really saying I'm a Christian. And Adam, you brought about the ministry of presence. And Eddie, when you just mentioned about, you know, ushers and parking attendants and all that, how is it, maybe you can, let me flip the coin a little bit. If there are guys that are listening to this that are actually ordained in ministry, or they're planning on, maybe they're called to be a pastor, is how can you help them understand that this image that's out there in public that, you know, Christian men are weak, you know? And I can see that a little bit, because there's the worldly perspective of the enemy making Christian men look weak. Then you got, regarding with the scandemic, you got pastors becoming sissified, you know, and not standing up for the truth, you know, and pastors hating on other pastors because they're opening up their churches during coronavirus. And I know the churches that did open up, that has brought respect to a lot of men respecting pastors that are standing up for truth, you know. And my question is, I guess, is how can, you know, I navigate that? You know, do you do that in the pulpit directly to the whole church, or do you do that, you know, maybe at a, you know, men's breakfast or something like that?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Let me ask you a question real fast, though. Do you think, I mean, when I was before I was a Christian and I heard Christian, the very first thing I thought of was a weak individual.
Did you just say fairy?
just like oh, like I want to get away from you. I don't want to battle whatever this is. Let me just shake your hand and I'll just go move on and tuck my tail and run. I'm not saying we provoke fights or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I mean, would you agree that we've done that to ourselves in the past?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I would agree with that too. I would always see that. And still to this, I remember seeing, speaking of the pandemic, I remember seeing churches in New York where they said vaccinated side in the pews and then the unvaccinated side. And it blows. I want to jump through the media and rip all those signs down and like topple the pews. That's mm-hmm. just what I want to do. Probably not the best thing to do, but I mean, it drives me crazy. We have this like, oh, love, you know, hit your face and you turn your cheek and all that stuff. Like I get it, but we're not to be pushed around. We're not to be bullied. We're fierce. We should be leading fiercely and not this like pushover mentality. This is Eddie talking, by the way. We should be leading fierce. And I mean, gosh, you want like, well, it's not, okay, go in the Bible. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about coming down as a sword and being fierce like a lion. Let's talk about those things because I believe that's what we're called to do. And I think there's a lot of pastors out there and leaders of churches that are doing a phenomenal job. I really do. But I also think that some are not. They're, first of all, if you're leading people to Christ, I think that's wonderful. I personally don't believe in this religion or that religion. I believe in following Jesus and being his follower and trying to be like him as much as you can. But I think that some of them are failing. They're afraid to get their reputation. They care about the reputation, the business, not really the right thing to do, what they're supposed to do. And I understand you throw a law in here and you're getting fined or you're getting labeled and possibly going to jail. I get that. That's a lot to take in. That's what the what am I hearing? Me getting on my knees and praying, please, like people console me, the church elders or whoever the board is, that sounding board. That's when you got to pull it together. So to answer your question, I think it's at that breakfast. I think it's everywhere you go. You got to be that fierce. That doesn't mean we go screaming and but we just tell them what it is. And I mean, we got to lean on, doesn't mean we have all the answers, but God's, as you know, God's pretty good about like, hey, here's what you should be saying is, you know, I mean, before I got on here, I've had two podcasts where I forgot to pray before the podcast. And I could tell just by listening to myself, I didn't feel good. And not to ever do that again. That's what I learned. But yeah, we are called to be fierce. We are called to be fierce. And, went to my church and they're like, hey, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, we respect your decision. And I respected that. That really hit home with me. It said, I was like, that's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about right there. Once we figured out what was going on, because I mean, there was a few weeks there were like, okay, what's going on? Are we all going to die? Are we going to get boils and blow up? I mean, who knows what's going on? And I'm sure you being in that world could probably, you know, this guy, I mean, it's like, or this girl, you got to take those leadership traits from the ones that you believe are leading fiercely. We can't be shy, and we can turn that around where they think of a Christian like, oh, they'll get stuff done. Like, that's what I want to be known as. Like, oh, he's a Christian, he gets stuff done. I don't want to be like, oh, he's really gentle and docile. And that's fine too. But when provoked or when, you know, playing that warfare game, I want to see a ball of fire coming at whatever the problem is. And that's what I think we should be striving to do. It doesn't mean we got to jack steel or do certain things. It's how we present ourselves and how we speak and how we, you know, what's our message, right?
Because, you know, not to name any particular pastor, I've heard a young pastor saying how, you know, there's too much masculinity in it. I almost wanted to reach through the video and not choke him, but shake him a little bit.
Because, I'll choke for you. How's that?
Well, we know in scripture, when Jesus went into the temple, he was kind of pissed off because my house is a house of prayer, my father's house, right? He made a quarter whip, flip tables, right? Flipping tires and all that stuff. And so I knew there is that masculinity side, the manly side of Christ. And there's this image of like, oh, you know, Christians are like this and guys are like this. And it's just, I think there's a bad stigma, you know, and having been a, you know, Christian majority of my life, I remember in the 80s and 90s, they had those cheesy Christian t-shirts and Christian sayings. And that even kind of drove me nuts, you know, mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing more Christian companies, t-shirt companies coming out and standing up for the truth, but it's so few, you know, and, you know, Adam and I think we, with one of our podcasts, I think we kind of paused, we're talking about prophecy, you know, and you just mentioned, I want to be doing, you know, and I just had an image in my head. I want to be in a sense, flipping tires in churches where churches are like closing down. That's what's shocking to me, is this pandemic shut down so many churches. And there's this flippant attitude of pastors, oh, well, you know, and I'm like, and I'm sure you've been with team members that are just flippant. And you're like, you need to get off my team. You know, you need to get off my team because I want to be with the other guys that are going to be doing, you know. And I know that saying's kind of cheesy, but it's so true. You're only strong as your weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, mm-hmm. you know, I read one of your things that you're talking about buds. I'll be like, oof, you know. I used to work for a pastor. He was a Marine. So every once in a while, he's from Vietnam. So he would have his, you know, Purple Heart card and all that good stuff. And he would let us in and he would let us watch some of the training. I'm just like, and you know, you could always tell who the weak ones are, but it's good to see the stronger guys come and support it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
And in your experience, how can, and I shared this before in other podcasts, is how, because I've worked with firefighters and cops, they say they're Christians, but they don't know how to bring that out, you know, maybe because they got their tail in, you know, under their butt and they're scared.
I got that voice. Don't say anything. You're going to look like an idiot. You know what you're talking yeah. about. You don't know a certain verse, right?
Right.
Right.
You know, what has helped you stand tall in your faith?
I it's funny. You brought up the weakest link thing. And when you were talking, it reminded me of a story that I got to share. When I was in Buds, there was a young, he was probably 18 years old, short little guy. And you look at him and you would think if the wind blew a little bit too hard, like his body would break. I mean, he looked like that, and I'm not ripping on him. But that guy, his heart motivated me every single day. I would look at this kid and I was like, dude, this guy won't stop. Like he would fail and fail and keep failing and couldn't do this and couldn't do that. But he wouldn't. It was like Rudy, the story of Rudy, right? The Notre Dame football player. It was like that on steroids. I mean, the guy was insane. I mean, and then it got to the point where certain people in my class, in my bud's class, were messing with his stuff. They would break his helmet, so it would be jacked up. And just like, hey, dude, get out of here. You're not welcome. And I remember I saw a dude about to do it, throw down his helmet, and I almost stuck my thumbs to that dude's eye sockets. I was so freaking ticked off. Like, you do not do that. Like, that is the cadre's responsibility to decide who gets here. You're a student. But that guy's heart and his passion and his mindset was insane. And he ended up washing out, which, I mean, it was probably inevitable. He just, like, he couldn't carry other people. But, like, he motivated me. And I've always been motivated by the big dudes, the guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, the guy, which is fake. But, you know what I'm talking about, that that look. But I tell you what, man, that guy motivated me. He motivated me, and he made me want to stand up for him. And like, and he never understood what he did for me. Like, that dude was feeding me daily, and it was awesome. I could be down, like I'm cold, I'm weak. You know, I got chafing in between my legs and my armpits. And then I would look over at this kid, and I'd be like, and he's standing there perfectly at attention, ready to go for the next one, just ready to go. I mean, what was he thinking? What was going on in that guy's mind? And he motivated me. God knows how many other people. Totally got off topic. What was that question again? That story took me out. Sorry.
Well, you know, just helping, you know, men and women in uniform to stand tall. You know?
Yeah, I guess that. I think that's kind of an internal issue. And I think the way that we do that is we show that it's okay. No matter what we say on social media to a group of people, to just a friend, it's going to get picked apart in some way, shape or form. It's going to, if I did a post on media saying God is great, I'm going to hear, oh, there is no God there. You know, the banter that goes back and forth. And I could put up a picture of a beautiful, like, little puppy. I mean, everyone loves puppy, right? Someone would be like, I hate that breed of dog. They pee, and like they're just never happy. there's always those naysayers. And once you realize that that's just the way, that's the world we live in. We have good, we have evil, right? It's no different. I mean, you can take the good and evil to anything and everything you do. You're going to get the naysayers and you're going to get guys that are like, man, I'm so glad you said that. And this is where it really hit home for me. And I did a post a couple years ago. And it was like, it was scripture or something. And it was like a motivating thing. Cause I love motivational quotes. It feeds me. I read them every morning and it gets me going. I kind of like, you know, I hang on them and I try to put them into life or where it happened to my life. And I posted something. I would get these messages from people that I don't follow, or they followed me or whatever. And they're like, hey, I really appreciate this. I needed this today. And that would happen over and over. And I would get, hey, I really appreciate you standing up for your faith, being in the military. It's been very hard for me. So it's like, if we can be those examples, and if I get one comment like that, I don't need comments, but if I get a comment like that, I'm like supercharged, let's go. It'll take out 100 bad ones. Because I know the bad ones are coming, but it's like, if we can affect one person in a positive way, who are they going to affect? We help one, they help their whole family. Their family's helping other friends and family. I mean, it's the spider web, you know how it is. It just, it goes out and that's for me. That's my thing. It's like, if I can help one person, and now it's not even that, it's like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to open this mouth of mine. Granted, I like to talk, might be a downfall at times, especially if you ask my wife sometimes. We gotta have that strength, and it's hard to say things sometimes. I'm no different than the next guy. It's hard for me to post some things. It's hard for me to, you know, do a speaking event and mention the word God or Christ or something. But I'm like, no. Like, I'm gonna get naysayers no matter what I say. Then if I don't say it, I'll get naysayers. Why didn't you say it? So it's just like, you can't win. You just like, you gotta be led by that heart, follow the heart, and be obedient. But I have it where I don't get offended by people. I mean, people say some stuff. I'm like, ooh, that's not very nice. But yeah, like I'm very confident. And I believe that me opening my mouth and talking about certain things is supposed to happen. And if it just helps one person to put that gun and they take that gun away from their head and they're like, okay, yeah, this is a small thing. I can do better or whatever. I mean, that's worth it to me. That is worth it to me, hands down.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife and I just started watching this show last night, and it's called How to Become a Tyrant. Have you heard of that on Netflix?
Yeah. Okay. I've seen, I think I've seen the previews. I haven't watched it yet. Is it good?
Holy cow. Yeah. There's a
tyrant. I got to write that down.
Yeah. There's six episodes. And of course, it's narrated by Peter Dinklage, you know, the little guy, which his voice is awesome. But watching that, it just blows my mind because I see so many parallels to where we are today as a nation and as a world, quite frankly. And it's a little bit scary. And I think the common theme with all of it is either the diluting, at least diluting, if not outright abolishing of faith and religion. And it's horrifying to see that. And I think that's what is most scary for me today is that I see that almost on a voluntary basis in the U.S. And you talked about Jesus saying, you know, turn the other cheek. People take that at face value, and a lot of the Bible can be taken at face value, but you got to know, you know, context. And nobody talks about that. Yeah, he was saying, you know, you're backhanded, turn the other cheek. Nobody, or very few, talk about the fact that that means that if he gets struck again, he's being struck as an equal, you know. And then when you were talking about that, it reminded me of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. People quote this all the time at weddings and whatnot, but few people know that this was a rebuke from Paul talking about what love actually is. And the end, two that really stick out to me is it always protects and it always perseveres. And I think that we have lost sight of that today, that part of this faith is that we have to protect the little guys and we have to persevere in these gnarly times. And so, you know, Mike, you talk about weak faith. I think it's because we have a lot of weak teaching and feel good teaching, you know, and we're seeing that carry over into the physical realm with even with our military, with this whole weakening of our military right now, or weakening of law enforcement. You know, there was a time when, you know, state police were called the state bulls. Not anymore.
It's, you gotta expect that. You gotta respect that authority, and it's put there for a reason. And it's I hate seeing what's going on. And I give mad props to the guys that are still out there doing the right thing and still maintaining the best they can. But gosh, yeah, it's not pretty. You're talking, and what I sometimes do, like when I would go overseas and operate, I always make sure my kit was good. I make sure my like 3x5 American flag, Velcro flag was perfectly straight on my plate carrier. And I wanted to dress like a warrior because I was putting myself in a combat zone. I was going against a formidable enemy in some instances, and I had to be ready to go. And I dressed like a warrior. And I think us being back here, that we have what we've talked about, if we got this kind of this wussy type Christian. I'm not saying all Christians are like that, but we have that weak. John Elders gives a perfect example of Mr. Rogers, right? He gives a perfect example of what do Christians think we are? Mr. Rogers, and a lot of people think that. You know, I got my little sweater vest on and put my little loafers on and won't you be my neighbor? Okay, no. but then he gives another example of William Wallace on the battlefield screaming freedom, right? I mean, it's like, okay, you choose who do you want to be? And if you choose one or the other, you better act that way. So if you want to be William Wallace, you need to act that way. And that doesn't mean we go, you know, taking axes to people's heads, but we take axes to the problem, whatever the problem is. We try to help figure that out in a tactful way, and we don't get scared by it. We attack it, and if we can't figure it out, we bring in some help. We bring in the community, be like, all right, guys, how do we do this? We have a problem here. What would Jesus do? What would he do? And okay, let's get in the Bible. Somebody wrote a book on this. All right, let's dig in and learn. But yeah, it's like, okay, how do you want to be perceived and how do you want to act? You want to be that weak, sorry, Mr. Rogers, that weak individual and just be like, oh, everything's so nice. It's so good. Oh, he didn't mean that. No, you know, sometimes we don't like to bring up things. We want to rock the boat, right? But you rocking the boat, if that's what you want to call it, or just bringing up it to someone's attention that, hey, you're doing this and it's affecting this, that person could be like, whoa, I didn't even see that happening. Like, let me work on that. And if they act a totally different way, like getting that defensive posture, you just planted a seed because they're going to go back and be like, man, do I do that? And then it's going to happen again, because if they do it, it's going to happen again. And they might hear from someone else, like, all right, that's the second person that's told me this. Maybe I need to work on something. So yeah, we need to bring it up. We don't need to be jerks about it, but yeah, we need to be warriors. We are warriors. We're called to be warriors. I really believe that us as men of faith are called to be warriors. We're not Jesus sitting on, you know, on like some hillside reading the Bible, story time. I think it's us doing our daily lives, wherever that may be, the police force, firefighters, me doing my my job at Contingent Group or on my website is like, how do I do this? This is my ministry. This is me trying to feed and help other people. And while I'm doing that, I'm being fed. I'm learning. I just had a call with a guy that was struggling hard. We did a one-on-one call. He was struggling hard. And I could just hear in his voice. I was like, hey, dude, like you taking this call and just being on here and being proactive and not reactive tells a lot about your character. It shows that you're willing to put the effort in. You're a fighter. You're a freaking fighter. I was like, don't ever lose that. No matter what happens, do not ever lose that. And the dude was like, he was taken back by it. Just because, I mean, think about it. Most of us are very reactive. We're very reactive. I use this in my business all the time. The contingent group is people want to do something for their house after a break-in, after someone, does something to their house. And they're like, oh, maybe we should get some motion sensors on the back. But if where they did that to begin with, you just would have saved, $400 in window damage and whatever. So yeah, we're warriors. We are freaking warriors, and you gotta live that. You gotta become that.
You reminded me of that verse in Psalm. I know Adam likes that verse too. Psalm 144, where it says, teach my hands to war.
It's right there, buddy. It's my favorite one.
Oh, there nice. That's on one of our, shirts.
One of the questions I was going to ask you is what your favorite verse is. I guess
Psalm 144, these hands for battle, right? And it's kind of funny. It's because it's for David, right? And David was a fighter. He was always in battle. Like, but people think, and I did too. It's like, well, it's in battle. He's battling people, like physically battling people. But man, I battled getting out of bed this morning. I battle dealing stuff with my kids. It's a battle. Give me strength to do my battle daily. It's not just on the battlefield. This is our battlefield. I mean, you guys know this. It's our battlefield. Wherever you go, your cubicle at your office, it's your battlefield. You go into the park on a run, that's your battlefield. It's everywhere you go, it's our battlefield. And as soon as people realize that, it goes to, to that unseen good and evil world. Somebody's got it out for you. Somebody very bad has got it out for you, and they know your name and they know you well. So you gotta, like we just did a quote, it's actually come out of our new t-shirt, is we face battles daily, so daily prepare for war. Because we've got to, for me, work out, because it's my therapy, it keeps my head clean. I've got to pick up books and read all the time. I got to do devotions in the morning. I've got to do those things. It's like me having my devotions with my wife in the morning is like putting my magazine into my weapon, lock and load, and then going out to take it to the bad guys. That's my magazine going in. That word going into my body is filling me. It's making my day better already before I even start, by being proactive and not reactive. And when I fail, which I do, I'm like, we don't have time for it. We got to go. It sometimes shows. It's like, oh gosh, all right, let's pull out my phone real fast. Let's do a little reading. Need some help here. So,
yeah, I'm reading a book right now, and I wish I could remember the name of it. It's actually an older book, but it's about the battles that are going on in the spiritual realm, basically. And it starts with, Genesis 1:1, that little space between, and God's spirit hovered over the waters, and then, God created. And I was just laying in bed last night thinking, man, and actually praying that, man, I can't believe that I get to be a part of this epic battle that's going on in the unseen, but you can feel it. And I say unseen, but you can see it manifesting in reality right now, not reality, but in the physical right now. And it just blows me away that anybody can say, oh no, that, I don't believe in that stuff. Like you just got to open your eyes to see what's actually going on. And we're going up against an enemy that will not show us mercy. So there's no way that we can show them any mercy. And
100%.
With your background, I like the perspective that you bring to this, because you have the physical experience of going to battle, and you can carry that over into your spiritual life. And there's really no difference except for the tools that you're using.
Yeah, you got to think a little bit harder on this one, don't you?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny you say that, like, I'm picturing myself like in Afghanistan or Iraq, and you can feel the sweat, it's hot, and your fingers rest on that trigger, and you're waiting to take somebody out that's trying to take you out or not get blown up by a bomb that they put, next to a road. And that's tough. Like, your life's on the line. It's tough. You gotta be wary and vigilant and all that stuff. But you talk about the real enemy, and you come back here into the States, into reality, into life, and it's everywhere. It's depression. It's suicide. It's dieting. It's lying. It's where are my eyes going? You know what? It's all these things. It's everywhere. It is everywhere. And if you don't train or prepare, you're going to get taken out sooner or later. You are going to get taken out. If you just like pass, like, I'll get to it later, or I don't need that, it's going to take you out. And you see it. You see it everywhere. What's divorce rate? Like 50%, I think, right now, or something around this. I mean, that's war. That is war. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That infidelity that happened, or whatever it was, or I'll just send a text, or I'll just go work out over here next to this. You know what I mean? Like, you're opening the doors. Satan sees it. He's going to kick that door open, and that door's going to go bam, nailing in the face. You'd like, look back in 6 months and be like, what just happened? I say this because I've had this happen to me personally. So, we're in a war. We are in a war, and you've got to put on your armor. Ephesians 6, right? You got to put on your freaking armor, and you got to take that. I mean, gosh, it's right there. It's not a surprise. It's right there. It's not a surprise. And a lot of us, because of our social world, we water it down. We water down the severity of it, and it's taken out marriages. It's taken out children. It's domestic abuse. It's taken out embezzlement from a company. You can just see it everywhere. You can see it everywhere. That's our battle. We call it life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
I want to put on my gear right now and go on the field of battle. I'm amped up. Nice.
See, I got in the right mindset because I bought a new rifle the other day, so I'm pretty excited. But
oh, heck yeah, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Is it laying there on your desk?
Oh, it's right over there in my safe.
Yes, I love it.
And I want to pull it up. Anyway, getting off track. You talked about the divorce rate, and that reminded me, if I remember right, you just got engaged, correct?
Actually, we just got married.
That's right. That's what it was.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I didn't mean to demean what
you did. Oh, you're good. You're good. We kept it low key. We did a very small wedding, and then we're doing our big one with our family and friend next year when we get the venue that we couldn't get this year.
That's awesome. Well, if you don't have a pastor yet, I know a guy. But
oh yeah, do you?
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh goodness. Maybe I'll just sing. I'll just sing.
There we go.
There you go. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is one of the main tools that I see being used. Is divorce rates. It's the attack on the relationship, because, you know, obviously from our knowledge of scripture here, we know that that's a direct attack on Christ himself, because Christ represents the groom, right? And the church is supposed to be the bride. And so anything that the enemy can do to disrupt that image, he's going to do it for sure.
Oh yeah, he's doing it well with the use of what we're allowing on media, on TV, on playing of sexes, what we say is acceptable for kids now. It's brutal. It's brutal, and a lot of it's not right at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Congratulations on the wedding. That's pretty cool. Exactly. Sounds like you're doing it right.
We're happy. We're happy. I did it right, finally. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. Speaking of marriage, so yesterday at church, the pastor spoke on Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And this is where God's humor is funny to me, okay? And then in verse 22 it says, whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing, attains favor of the Lord. Like, I'm like, Lord, although he didn't teach on that text, I'm like, death and life are in the power of the tongue, mm-hmm. you know? And
how many times does the Bible talk about the tongue? It's a lot, right?
It's a lot. You know? I mean, in James, it talks about how we praise God and then we curse men, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, that stupid thing when we were kids, right? You know, sticks and stones right? Yeah. But words don't hurt me.
It's not true.
It's not true, you know? And, you know, speaking of all this, it's like, even in marriage, like, it's a test. Like, you're talking about a battle, you know? And something that I've coached my wife on early on when we had our son, you know, something that my dad taught me and I've seen in my parents' marriage was, I think men are wired. When we hear words from women and the tone is at, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, the volume and the tone and the facial response is at 10 and the words are at 1, we hear the tone and not the words. Mm-hmm. And something that I've coached my wife on, I said, you really have to be careful on how, especially, you know, when my son got older from like 8, 9, especially when he got to like 10, 11, 12, I said, your tone speaks louder than your words, you know? And I wrote in my daughter's bulletin, you know, one here, I put words plus tone is a method, you know? And it's something that I've kind of told myself to work on, you know, for a Bible study in the future is, how can I use my tone and words so that it's a method, you know? Because we're speaking about Jesus being a warrior, David being a warrior, you know, teaching my hands to fight, but using words in such a way that it's thought provoking, but at the same time, I think Jesus did it best, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. In the,
you know, oh, you read the Gospels, right? And it says they marveled at him. Right. When he spoke, they marveled at him.
And what was he doing every Sunday? Starting stuff with the Pharisees, right?
Yeah. So, I know Jesus likes to provoke and stuff, but at the same time, he was so thought provoking in such a way they marveled, you know? And it's like, how can I as a husband, but at the same time as a father, as a worker, as an employee, use words and tones in such a way, you know, that it changes individuals, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Adam and I didn't go to Buds, but we went through different type of academies. And you always have that, you know, that cadre, the leaders. Some just love to yell, you know? And then you got the Tony Dungy type, who's a great figure, but he's mild-mannered and uses words in such a way that it's like a gentle, you know, bird, you know? But yet,
it's,
you know, if you,
the way you talk, to be honest with you, Adam, yeah. Would you agree with this?
Yeah.
Very, very, yeah. You're very well spoken.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it just reminds me how God's humor is, death and life are in the tongue. And the very next verse is, hey, he who finds a wife, you know, obtains favor of the Lord, you know? I mean, Eddie, like you, I love to talk. I think that's why God allowed me to be a preacher. You know, but at the same time, my talking has got me into trouble too, you know. Adam's laughing too.
Doing the gloves, right?
Right.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm relating. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know we need to use words. And I think as warriors, you know, could tie it on all that together, you know, having been a worship pastor and a worship leader as well is, you know, David spent a lot of time singing and praising when he was a shepherd boy, you know, which allowed him to be, you know, he wrote pretty much the workbook on worship, you know, and in the back of my head, it makes me wonder if David's going to be the worship leader and up in heaven, but that's a whole different.
There is a position opening, I think. Yeah.
But I think we also can't forget that the warrior, and I forgot which preacher said it. I don't know if it was Henry Ironside or a commentator. He gives an analogy of how men go to battle and fight in the war when they come home. And it's really had to do with, man and women, husband and wife, where, and of course it was that generation of the early 1900s, I believe. where, you know, when men come back beaten and battered and bruised, where women could, you know, feed them, console them, and love on them and send them back out, you know? And I think as men, there is that portion of, you know, like Adam, you mentioned, I'm not going to read a book called Wild at Heart. Are you crazy? You know, the first time I heard of John Eldridge, I think he was still working on staff with, if I'm not mistaken, he was working on, he used to be on staff with Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson, you know? And of course, it was that whole thought, you know, anybody that works for a Christian organization, you know, as a guy, they've never worked out. They've never been into, you know, any type of, you know, warfare. And I had that image in my mind mindset because I was a Christian growing up. But at the same time, as I'm getting older, I realize that there's that gentle aspect of when Jesus even tells his disciples, you know, in the book of Mark, you know, let's depart, come away, you know, to a solitary place, you know, to, you know, you held up a book. I think we, you know, we love reading books, you know. I've been meaning to ask you this. What's your favorite verse? I think I know it's on your arm. What's your favorite food, hobby, or book?
Ooh, favorite verse is definitely Psalm 144, even though I'm a big, I think it's Proverbs 3 verse 5. Don't lean on your own understanding, something like that. That's becoming a big one for me because, you know, I just don't get it. and I'm not supposed to. And I'm starting to learn that. So instead of like trying to control things, favorite hobby is definitely working out of some sort. It clears my mind. The food question, that's not fair. I love it all. I am such a fatty.
You got to say Korean barbecue.
Sushi would probably be my number one.
There you go.
Sushi's probably my go-to. And then what else was there? What
other? You have a favorite book right now?
Favorite book right now, anything that deals with the mindset. I've been dealing a lot of mindset books. That's probably my number one is anything that deals with the mindset. It's like I'm doing one now. It's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And then I have another one that just talks nothing about growth mindset. So because we're working on a new book and it's all about unafraid mindset. So we're kind of trying to suck in as much knowledge as possible for that. So
I was actually going to save that for the end, but cause I heard you're working on some writing. So that's good.
Yeah. One book's done. Oh. We just were waiting for approval from DOD. And as soon as that's, we've got it and we're good. It goes over to the publisher and it'll be out. It's called Within War.
Oh, nice.
So that's, yeah, lays it out there pretty good, some of the cool things we're talking about.
Perfect. Have you heard of Greg Amundsen? You know who Greg Amundsen is?
I have not.
Okay, he's actually one of our good friends with the podcast here. He's former DEA agent, sheriff's deputy. He's a chaplain now. He owns a CrossFit gym. Anyway, he speaks with Jason Redman.
Okay.
And anyway, he's written a handful of books on that warrior mindset, which just thought you might be interested if you get through your current reading, which if you're like me, your stack is probably pretty high too. But
it's yes, I have to like do something like half an audiobook, so I just yeah. I can do like 20-minute segments, and that's about it for me. Unless it's like fiction, and it's like we believe cool war stories can go forever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't want to keep you all day, Eddie. You know, maybe with your permission, we'll have you back another time to maybe after your book is written, we'll get it read and then have you back.
Of course. I just want to tell you, man, to be honest with you guys, this podcast was phenomenal. I love talking about Christ and just engaging with you guys and just it just got me going. I want you to get off here. Get some breakfast. I'm going to be taking down a lot of notes. I've got like all these ideas and just, I got filled. This podcast filled me in the best of ways. So I just want to say thank you both so much. It was an honor to be on here.
Well, we appreciate that. I mean, selfishly, this is just as much for us because it is. Iron sharpens iron, right? So
absolutely.
So, we don't usually do this. Usually we do it ourselves, but do you want to pray us out?
Yeah, not a problem. I'd love to.
Awesome.
All right, dear Lord, we submit ourselves to you. Thank you so much for all the love and understanding that you have given us and will give us. Please fill us daily of our wisdom and that we can feed into others, protect our families and friends and all the listeners and their family and friends, and keep the health, make sure that we are health, put a hedge of protection around us and put those orbing crosses that just circle around us, keeping away the evil that lurks around there, and just shred anything that evil tries to come near us. And give us the warrior mindset. Give us that warrior mindset to be obedient for you and to always do the right thing. In Jesus's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Much appreciated. Okay, so a couple plugs here. EddiePenny.com. I'm going to check that out.
Okay.
Also, you can follow Eddie on Instagram is where we follow him at. And then Contingent Group is also on there. Oftentimes you'll put some pretty good tips on self-protection, home protection, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. And so follow that. It's got some great material in there. Anything else?
I think you're good. Contingent Group and EddiePenny.com. That's pretty much where things lie. So that's pretty much what I got right now. So that's awesome. And when you guys come out with this, any way I can, lead people to you guys to follow your podcast, get this out there, please let me know what you need. And then we'll links, all that good stuff. And I'll push that out.
For sure. Yeah. We won't be shy, as you probably have noticed. So
awesome. I love that.
All right. Well,
when I get my church up and going, I guess I would love to have you out for a men's event.
I would love to come to that. I would love to come to that. I'm already saying I'm coming right now.
There you go. Maybe I can squeak Eli Crane and we can all go.
That'd be awesome.
Study Jesus and go shooting.
Okay.
Nice. All right, guys. Awesome. Until next week. Take care.
All right, guys. You guys be safe.